He said I didn't have to do anything unless he fainted, so I don't think he's going to faint, but go ahead. Bless you, Jesse.
Well, I have to say that I was a little bit disappointed when I heard that the hike was off this weekend. I thought maybe half of the seats would be empty at least, but just wasn't meant to be. But anyhow, please bear with me as this is the first time I've been up here sharing the message, but here we go. This is actually the second time that I've been asked to come up here and share. The first time was about a year ago when I got emailed by Pastor Ray asking me if I would share. Pastor Ray, I say. This is what the email said. Great job on the communion talk last Sunday. I really appreciated the points you had laid out and how it tied into my sermon. You have a real gift for speaking and a calmness and clarity about you. I was wondering if you would consider preaching one Sunday coming up. I would like you to take a week to pray about this, and if you can please let your house group on Wednesday know about it, then they as a group can pray for you as well. Bless you, Pastor Ray. Well, as it turned out, this email was not from Pastor Ray at all. Pastor Ray didn't even know that it was going out. But rather, it was from a couple of the upstanding young fellows in my house group that thought... They thought it would be great to pull a prank on me. Not going to name any names, but one of them is my father's oldest son. And the other one, his name rhymes with shark, and he works at the lodge. What I wish to share on is the area of stewardship, since this is something that the Lord has been highlighting to me lately. I did briefly share on this at the men's breakfast, so my apologies if some of this is repetitive, but I'll try to expand on what I shared there. It's not a deep or a complicated message. It's just more of a reminder of what we already know to be true and to just encourage us to be good stewards. So I've broken it down into, I have four questions, and then I have some application and examples. So the first question I think we should start with is, what is a steward? Or what is an owner? Because either you're a steward or you're an owner. So, what is a steward? A steward is one who manages another's property or financial affairs, one who administers anything as the agent of another or others, a person who has charge of the household of another, buying or obtaining food, directing the servants, etc. But on the other hand, an owner is a person who owns, is a possessor, or a proprietor. An owner has exclusive rights to the thing that is owned. So owners have rights, stewards have responsibilities. So the next question is, are we stewards, or is my life my own? Do I own my life? So look at some verses here. In Psalm 24:1, which is a psalm of David, we see, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. And we can look in Galatians 2:20, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Or then we can look at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6, 9, and 10, where it says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Or we can look at Deuteronomy 8, 17, and 18, where it says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. A couple more here. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And then... probably the longest one I have here is in Chronicles, where David and the tribes and all the people, they gave towards the building of the Lord's house. And it says in 1 Chronicles 29, 9 to 18, "Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners. All as all our fathers were, our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people, and direct their hearts toward you.'" And then in John 15, 4-8, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone abides or does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." And then one last verse in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." So we can see from these verses that God is the owner. All things come from him, and we are to be good stewards. So we are to steward those things that belong to the Lord, which we have contact with, like the earth, creation, riches, all those things. We're also to steward those things which he has simply said that we are to steward. So then, stewards of what? What is it that we are supposed to steward? Well, we've seen a lot of things in the verses that we've just read, but I've got a few more verses to add to those, and then we'll come up with a list of all the things just in these verses, and there's many more, but we'll come up with a list of things that are in these verses. So in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So that's talking about creation. We are to steward creation. In 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." So we are to steward gifts and God's grace. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." So we are to steward our bodies as they are not our own. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:1, it says, "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." So we are to steward the mysteries of God. So I'll just give you a summary of what we've seen, and there's many more things that we are to steward, but here's a summary, a list of the things that we've seen in the verses that we've gone through today. We're to steward the earth, those who dwell in it, power, might, strength, creation, all that is in the heavens and the earth, the kingdom, riches, all things, abundance, gifts, God's grace, our bodies, and the mysteries of God. So we really see that we are to steward everything, that nothing is our own. So we are the stewards, God is the owner. It is sad, but it's true that often we try to reverse that relationship. We'll ask for something, we'll make some sort of self-centered decision, and then we'll ask God to bless us in it, which is really like saying, Lord, I'm the owner of this in my life, but I'll let you look after it so that it turns out to my liking. But we're getting it backwards. I ran into a quote that I quite liked by C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity when I was studying for this, and it says, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment, is given you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his own already. So, my next question is, why bother? Why bother being a good steward? But the question is not actually why bother being a steward, because we are stewards whether we like it or not. That is just the way that things are. We're followers of Christ, we're stewards of his kingdom and all that he has put in our path. So the question is more, why bother being a good steward? So again, there are probably many more reasons than this, but I've just chosen five reasons, so I'll quickly go through. First reason is out of our gratitude for all that Christ has done for us. I mean, he's given us everything, so out of gratitude, it just makes sense. The second reason is because this is the proper order of things. God is a God of order, and his order is that he is in charge, and we are to gladly submit to him. Following his order produces a blessing. Fighting his order puts us outside of that blessing. It's no different than the order that he has created for humans, in that the way that he's designed us to move around is to walk on our feet. That's the order that he's created. If we decide that we don't want to follow that order and we're going to walk around on our hands and knees, well, guess what? We're outside of God's order and we're going to have a curse because of that, which in this case would be sore knees. But it's the same sort of thing. Like, that is God's order, that we are to be good stewards. We see Jesus talking about this when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 24:14-30. This is a parable of the talents, where God has given all of the servants the talents to steward. Two of those servants, they followed God's order, and they did steward well, and they were blessed because of it. God gave them more. But the other steward, he decided that he was not going to be a good steward, and he was outside of God's order, and he did not receive the blessing. In fact, he received a curse because of it. The third reason that we are to be good stewards is that we are to follow Christ's example. In John 6:37-39, it says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. So if Jesus is to be a good steward of what the Father has given him, well, then so are we. The fourth reason that I have is that we are warned to not live for ourselves, which would be poor stewarding. In Luke 12:16-21, it says, and he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And then the fifth reason that I have why we should be good stewards is because it is fulfilling. When we agree and submit with God's right order that we are stewards of his will, there is a fulfillment that can be found nowhere else. This is why we can read in the Bible and even hear stories today of believers who would rather be mocked, insulted, despised, rejected, bruised, beaten, whipped, thrown in prison, and even martyred than to live the lie that their lives are their own to do with as they choose. When I was preparing for this message, I was also kind of at the same time looking at Titus 1, 6 to 9, which is qualifications for an elder. And as we're considering possibilities for who to add to the eldership, these verses really said to me that this is simply, at least a lot of it is talking about people who are just good stewards. Let me read those verses and you'll see what I mean. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers, and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered, or a drunkard, or violent, or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So then next I have some application and examples. Like, yeah, so how does this affect me, right? I think the short answer is that it should affect every area of our lives. But the Lord has been challenging me to be a better steward of what he has already spoken to me about. Since sometimes I want the Lord to tell me something new because it's interesting and fresh and whatnot, but if I'm not really looking after what he's already told me, then I'm not being a good steward, and I'm not going to get the blessing for what he's already told me to do. I wonder how often the Spirit has spoken to us, but we just haven't either written down what he said or stewarded it, and it's been lost. A while back, I was out one morning walking and talking with the Lord, and one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about on that walk, as I was talking to him about my daughters, was the necessity of teaching them basic godly truths that they would be able to look back on for the rest of their lives. Now, if I am a good steward of what the Lord has told me to do, there is bound to be a blessing in my daughters' lives. But if I ignore what the Lord has told me and simply keep asking him to bless my daughters, then I am, in a sense, standing in a way of the Lord doing that, because the Lord often blesses our kids through the parents, right? So do I stand in his way, or do I follow what he has asked me to do? I thought I would come up with a fictitious conversation between two people, just to show how thinking like a steward could change our thoughts and actions. And this is fictitious, bear in mind, and it might be a little cheesy, but here goes. First guy, how's it going? As good as I can expect, I guess. Oh yeah, why do you say that? Do you really want to know? Of course, what's up? Well, honestly, I seem to be running into trouble in every direction. How so? Well, to start with, I never seem to have enough time in a day to fit everything in. I mean, with the hours I work, the committees I'm on, sports, trying to find time to keep up on relationships, trying to spend quality time with my family, maintaining the yard and the house, and trying to keep in shape, etc., etc., I always seem to be behind on everything. Seems like I can hardly find 5 minutes to myself, and even when I do, I can't stay awake for more than the 2 of the 5 minutes. Okay, that part, that's me, that 2 of the 5 minutes. I keep trying to be faster at everything I do, thinking that maybe I can shave some time here or there, but it doesn't seem to help. There's always something else to do, and always something else that somebody is asking me to do. Yeah, I see what you mean. And this is only one of my problems. Really? That sounds bad enough, but what else is the matter? Well, it seems like lately my money problems seem to be just as bad or worse than my time problems. Wow, how so? Well, you know, life starts out pretty easy. When I was young, getting my first job and having some disposable money, the future looked great. I saved up for the car I wanted and the toys I wanted, and all was good, except that there's always another car and another toy, etc. But then after I got married, bought a house, had kids, etc., it just seems like after paying for all the things that I I need to pay for, there isn't enough money left over to do hardly any of the things that I want to do. Also, I feel so stressed about money that if someone asks me to support some worthy cause, I almost cringe. Yeah, that doesn't sound exactly easy either. I'm just feeling kind of worn down right now. I know that we are supposed to live life abundantly and all that, but I'm not feeling it. Well, you asked how I was doing, and I gave you an earful, but how about you? Well, after hearing you, I feel very blessed. Oh, thanks a lot. No, let me explain. I have struggled with the same things as you, and I still do. But the Lord has been working on me and changing the way that I look at my life. Go on. Well, it's pretty simple, really. He has been showing me that my life is not really my life. That's it? I don't get it. Well, he has challenged me with my time, my money, etc., that they are really his. And if that is the case, then I'm simply a steward of them. Well, that changes everything. Because I can no longer complain that I don't have enough time or money, etc., because I actually don't have any at all. It is all his, and if it is his, then I can be assured that there's enough of it for all of his plans to be accomplished. Now it is simply a matter of working out with him what it is that he wants me to do with his time and his money, etc., that he has entrusted me with. This has meant some changes. There are some things that he's asked me to lay down, some things that he's asked me to take up, and other things that others have asked me to do that he has told me not to take on right now. Interesting. Give me some examples. Well, you know that I have always dreamed of having a cabin on the lake. I got to the point that every year that went by, I got more and more disappointed and bitter that I was not getting any closer to that goal in my life. Well, I felt the Lord telling me that for the time being, this is something that needs to be laid down. It was very hard at first. But now I find that I'm actually happier not to be striving for something that is not the Lord's plan for me right now. Who knows? The Lord does like to bless, and it may be that a cabin on the lake is something that he has for me in the future, but right now I'm not wasting any thought or effort on it. So that is something that you laid down. What is something he has asked you to take up? Well, one thing that he has asked me to do is to make time each day to pray for guidance for my day. This has begun to make me very aware of how I am used to thinking of myself in my daily decisions, and it's changing my thinking and actions to be more God-centered. And there are things that he has asked you not to take up right now? Well, yeah, and this is perhaps one of the more surprising things. I used to think that if something was a good cause, then of course I should be involved in it. But God is actually showing me that you can't actually be too busy doing good things to actually be useful. So that's it. That's my fictitious, cheesy conversation. But I thought I would just give some examples of what I've seen people in this church acting as though they know that their life is not their own. They're not thinking of themselves in the actions that they do. In fact, we just had another one this morning when Kelly was talking about going to garage sale, and instead of thinking of himself and just going plowing right on in and going to the garage sale, he's looking at this girl and prays for her. And I mean, he knows his life is not his own, and he's using his time like that. There is the Enzes have a tree nursery, and their hiring technique is perhaps not normal. They often just wait for the Lord to bring them the right people to work on the farm. Maybe the odd time they'll throw in an ad in the paper or whatnot. But then they know that their business is the Lord's, and that the Lord will bring the people that he wants to be working there. It's neat, and I've actually worked with some people there that probably wouldn't have been chosen otherwise, and you know, they have an opportunity to plant seeds in these people's lives. Then there's Wayne McKay sharing in the prison ministry. There's my in-laws having a recovering addict living with them. There's Phil and Melissa, who I talked to Phil a while back, and they had one of Phil's young coworkers living with them at their home. There's the Windmills, who are using horses to impact the lives of the unsaved. In fact, I understand that they're moving to do just that. There's the Weenses loaning out their vehicle to Paul and Ruth Hetler and the family for close to a month while they were here. There's the Griffins, the Bales, and various others going to outreaches in places where their lives are in danger. There's all those who volunteer their help in the soup kitchen and various other outreaches. There's those who own businesses and that operate in integrity rather than just being out for the quick buck in order to show God's ways to their customers. There's the elders, the home group leaders, the worship groups, etc., that give up countless hours every year for the benefit of the church. There's those who tithe, who know that their money is not their own and they're just giving back to God what is His. There's those who take care of their physical bodies because they know that their bodies are not their own. There's parents who take the time to teach their kids the things of God. There's simply those who take the time to write down something that the Lord has told them so they won't lose it for the future. And I'm sure there are many, many other things that all of us can think of for examples like this. And that's pretty much the conclusion of my message. But just please be encouraged to continue to think like good stewards and to ask the Lord to increase His revelation of that in our lives. I don't think that the answer is to construct a list of rules and regulations in order to do this. It's more to ask God to change our hearts to be thinking like stewards and that our actions would just flow out like that. And in final conclusion to the question at the beginning, called as stewards, so now what? I'd just like to read a hymn that seems to sum it up nicely. This is Take My Life and Let It Be. Take my life and let it be, consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour, at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be, ever, only, all for Thee. So let me just pray for us in conclusion here. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your order. I thank You for Your ways. I thank You for how You have designed things to work, Lord. And I pray that You would help us to realize more and more what Your way is, Lord, that we are to be stewards of what is Yours, that everything that we have is Yours. All in our life is not actually our own. And I thank You, Lord, for that. And I pray that You would bring that to mind in situations that arise, Lord, that we would think as stewards immediately, not even though we know theoretically that we are to be good stewards. I pray that You would bring it to the forefront of our minds, that our actions would be immediate, that we would know we are to be stewards of Yours, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I think that's a great encouragement for all of us to just look and examine ourselves. Could we get, Sean, can you find that hymn, Take My Life? I know we've got it. And I wonder if we could just stand together and let's just take a few moments and make that a prayer. Jesse has already prayed it over us. Let's make it a personal prayer for us, as we just dedicate our lives afresh. And, you know, we could sit back and we could say, well, I'm not a very good steward at this and I'm not a very good steward at that. But, you know, that's the beginning place, to acknowledge our need, to acknowledge that we need a Savior, to acknowledge that we need someone to walk us through, to help us, to encourage us, to show us, to admonish us, to discipline us, to be good stewards of what He's put within our hands. Have we found it up there? There we are. I don't know what tune to do it in. Let's do it in the one that, this more modern one that we're doing. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move At the impulse of thy love, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Lord, that's our prayer today. Lord, I just pray that you would take off any shackles. You would take off any bonds and things that restrict us from just embracing your word this morning. And Lord, we're not going to change 100% overnight. And you don't expect us to. All you ask us to do is to take that one step that will take us forward. Grant us the grace and the ability and the wherewithal and the will to do that. For your glory, Lord. And for your name's sake, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good to be together this morning. Bless one another. Shake hands, do something, give somebody a hug.